The three messengers reached Babylon in the spring when the snows were still thick upon the distant mountain tops in the north, where the two great rivers rise. Pharaoh Narja-Kiafan gave them audience on the uppermost terrace garden of the palace of Babylon. Queen Heseret sat beside his throne. She wore the most magnificent jewels that the treasury of King Sargon had yielded. Her high-piled dark hair was covered by a silken net, on which gemstones sparkled like all the stars of the firmament. Her arms were laden with bracelets, and her fingers with rings so heavy with emeralds and rubies and sapphires that she could barely lift them. Around her throat was a stone the size of an unripe fig, as clear as water from a mountain spring, and so adamantine that it could cut through glass or obsidian. This marvellous gem came from the land beyond the Indus River, and when the sun caught it, the shafts of light it threw out pained the eye. The messengers were all high officers from the army that Pharaoh Troch had taken westwards 4 months before. They came in great fear of their lives, for they bore evil tidings. They had ridden so far and so fast that they were thin and burnt dark by the suns of the desert and the high mountains. They threw themselves at the foot of the throne on which Narja sat in glory and splendour, to overshadow even that of his wife. "All hail to you, Pharaoh Narja, mightiest of the gods of Egypt," they greeted him. "We are the bearers of terrible tidings. Have mercy on us. Though what we have to tell you will displease you, be merciful and turn away your wrath from us." "Speak," Narja commanded sternly. "I alone shall judge if you are to be spared."
"The news we bring you is of Pharaoh Troch Uruk, your brother god and the co-ruler of Egypt," said the officer, who was a commander of the vanguard, bore the rank of best of 10,000, and wore the gold of valour upon his chest.
"Speak," Narja ordered again, for the man had faltered.
"In the desert that surrounds the ancient city of Galala, there took place a mighty battle between the armies of Pharaoh Troch Uruk and those of the usurper Nefertiti."
He fell silent again.
"Continue!"
Narja rose to his feet and pointed the royal flail at the man's face, a gesture that threatened torture and death. The messenger went on hurriedly.
"By the means of cowardly deceit and wicked witchcraft, the army of your brother and our pharaoh Troch Uruk was lured to destruction. He is slain, and his army decimated. Those of his men who survived have gone over to the enemy, and have rallied to the standard of the false pharaoh Nefertiti. May Seth visit him with a terrible vengeance and eradicate his name and all his works. This same wicked usurper, with all his force, marches on Avaris and both kingdoms of this very Egypt."
Nefer sank back on his throne and stared at him in astonishment. At his side, Heseret smiled. When she did so, the cruel lines at the corners of her mouth vanished, and she was transformed, becoming once more ineffably beautiful. She touched Narja's arm with a bejeweled finger, and when he leant towards her, she whispered in his ear, "Praise to the gods, and all hail to the one and only Pharaoh of the upper and lower kingdoms, the mighty Narja-Kiafan." Narja tried to remain stern and expressionless, but a tiny smile played for an instant over his lean and handsome features. It took him a moment to suppress it, and then he rose again. His voice was sibilant and soft, but menacing, as the sound of a sword blade being swiped across the face of the whetstone. "You bring the news of the death of a pharaoh and a god. Woe upon you who are now contaminated and steeped in misery and misfortune." He made a gesture to his bodyguard who stood around the throne. "Take them away and give them over to the priests of the god Marduk, that they be sacrificed in the furnace to appease the wrath of the god. When they were bound and led away to the sacrifice, Narja stood again and announced, "The god and pharaoh Trokoruk is dead. We commend his soul to the gods. I declare before you all that there is now only one ruler over both kingdoms, and over all the territories and all the conquered lands and possessions of Egypt. I declare further that ruler to be myself, Pharaoh Narja Kiafan." "Boker!" cried all the courtiers and captains who stood around his throne, and they drew their swords and beat them on their shields. "Boker! Exalted be the king god Narja Kiafan! Send word to all my commanders and the generals of all my armies. We will meet in war council at the noon hour this same day." For 11 days that followed, from dawn to dusk, Pharaoh Narja sat at the head of his council in the throne room of the palace of Sargon. With sentries at the doors to bar interlopers or spies, they drew up their plans and their order of battle. On the 12th day, Narja commanded the muster of his armies in Mesopotamia and sent ambassadors to the subservient kings and satraps in all the conquered territories between Babylon and the borders of Egypt. He ordered them to prepare all their forces for war and place themselves under his command for the campaign against Nefertiti. In the full of the following moon, when the army mustered before the blue gate of the city of Babylon, they were 40,000 strong, all veterans and blooded troops, well equipped with horse and chariot, bow and sword. Heseret stood with her husband, the one and only true pharaoh of Egypt, on the ramparts of the city to review the array. "What a glorious sight," she told him. "Surely there was never such a muster as this in all the annals of war." "As we march westwards, back towards our motherland, the numbers will be swollen by the Sumerians and the Hittites, the Hurrians, and all the armies of the conquered lands through which we pass. We will return to Egypt with 2,000 chariots. The Papi dare not stand against us." He looked down at her. "Do you feel no pity for your brother Nefer?" "None." She shook her head so her jewelry glinted and sparkled in the sunlight. "You are my pharaoh and my husband. Whoever rises against you is a traitor and deserves death."
"Death he shall have, and the treacherous warlock will share his funeral pyre and burn beside him," Narja promised grimly.